Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants, you are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them."
Rick and I started dating towards the end of my senior year of high school. He had taken me out to dinner a few times, and so I decided that I was going to return the favor and cook him dinner at our home. I knew him well enough to know that his favorite was steak and French fries, and I had worked in fast food since I was 12 years old, so I was very certain that I was capable of handling the meal of steak and fries. My brother and I were home by ourselves. My mom was at work, and so I peeled and sliced the potatoes. I put them in a bowl of salted water. I pulled out a big pot from the dishes or from the pans, and I filled it up with cooking oil, and I turned the stove on medium high, and I went up to take a shower and to get ready for my day. My brother was the first one to smell the fire and the smoke and to yell at me that I needed to come down and check the kitchen. And I knew how to extinguish a grease fire because I had been in fast food, but this one was way beyond anything that I was capable of extinguishing by that time. By the time Rick arrived, there was fire trucks out front, the flames were coming out the kitchen window, and he married me anyway. Today, the book of Jesus transitions to from the public ministry of Jesus to the private ministry of Jesus, preparing his followers for what would come next. So often we think that we are prepared only to find ourselves in a disastrous situation. May we listen and learn from the words of Jesus today, ready to step into whatever comes next. Let's pray. God, we gather during this season of Lent and we ask you to prepare us for what is to come. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Soften our hearts and open our minds. Spirit, teach, convict, guide, equip, and enable. Help us to be ready to courageously face tomorrow. Amen. As I mentioned before, the Gospel of John is divided into two sections, the public ministry of Jesus, the wedding at Cana, the healing of the official's son, the bread of life and living water, the healing of the blind man, the good shepherd, and the raising of Lazarus. These were for the benefit of all, spreading the word to the masses, revealing to as many as possible who Jesus claimed to be. And then the private ministry of Jesus that is focused more on his followers, Jesus' own, preparing them for what was to come. Today, we transition to that second half, that private ministry. He loved them all to the end. What a powerful phrase. These are those who had messed up, misunderstood, got in the way, questioned, doubted, failed again and again. Those who had fought over who would be considered the greatest in the kingdom. Those who had betrayed. And Jesus loved them to the end. He loved them fully and completely, without condition or reservation. He loved them always. Jesus knows that his time on earth is about to come to the end, and yet that he will soon return to the Father. I love that even though he knows Judas is about to betray him, he's not worried, he's not concerned, he's not angry or upset, because he knows the Father has given all things into his hand. He knows that he's come from God. He knows that he's going to God. Jesus knows his identity and his purpose. And the really good news is that in following him, we can too. We can know our identity and our purpose. We can know that we came from God, that we're going to God. And we can know that all things are in God's hand. Knowing all of this, Jesus chooses to demonstrate his love for the disciples in this dramatic way by taking on the role of a slave and by washing their feet. Just before this story, in a passage we passed over, Mary of Bethany washes Jesus' feet with this expensive perfume, and she dries his feet with her hair. Jesus interprets her act of love and service as an anointing before his burial. Jesus doesn't use expensive perfume. He simply uses water and a towel, and yet this is an extravagant act of love, that the one who comes from God, the one that's going back to God, would take on this menial task of a slave. This also points to what will come in the dark hours ahead. Jesus will lay down his life, crucified on a Roman cross, the form of execution that is reserved for those who are rebels and slaves. And Peter asks, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus tells him, "You don't understand now, Peter, but you will." And Peter responds, "You will never wash my feet." Don't you know that Peter thinks he gets it? I mean, after all, the disciples have just been arguing over who was going to be considered greatest in the kingdom, and now Jesus is taking on this role of a slave and offering to wash their feet. Peter must think, this is a test, and I'm going to pass it. "You will never wash my feet." But Peter doesn't understand. And Jesus responds, "Unless I wash you, you have no share of me." And so Peter, again, must think, test number two, I'm not going to fail this one. Well, I'm all in, Jesus. I'm all in. Head to feet, top to bottom, wash me. Jesus' response to Peter is somewhat difficult to interpret. And again, commentators say that this may be a traditional proverb. "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean." The statement seems to suggest that a relationship with Jesus has cleansing power that lasts. The disciples are going to need that gift of grace very soon, and it will become very clear. Jesus adds, "You are clean, though not all of you." And the narrator explains, "For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason," he said, "not all of you are clean." Have you noticed that the stories of God are always extra? It would be enough that Jesus takes the role of slave and washes the dirty, dusty feet of his followers. But Jesus, knowing full well that they will all fail him miserably in his hour of greatest need, follows through by washing their feet. So often our minds go to Judas. Judas is that betrayer. Jesus knows that Judas is at the table, but it wasn't just Judas. Jesus insists on washing the feet of Peter, knowing full well that Peter will deny him not once, but three times. Jesus does stoop to wash the feet of Judas, knowing full well that Judas has already plotted to betray him, turning him over to the authorities for a sack of silver coins. Yet all of the disciples will fall asleep when Jesus asks them to stay awake and pray, not once, but again, three times. Jesus' love remains unwavering, washing their dirty feet, each and every one, followed by these words, "Do as I have done to you." Jesus tells his followers, "Serve one another in the same way that he served them. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done to you." This parallels a new commandment that will follow later on in verse 34. "Just as I have loved you, you should love one another." Jesus' example suggests that loving as he has loved means taking on the role of a servant, caring for the needs of others without expecting anything in return. This is not something that we do only for those who treat us well, but even for those who disappoint and betray us, for those who hurt us. Can Jesus really expect us to do this, to love and to serve those who fail or those who stab us in the back? I mean, aren't there just a few exceptions to this love commandment? Jesus' commandment to love one another is not a commandment that revolves around feelings, but a commandment that revolves around actions, even when we would rather do otherwise, because we all fall short. We can't use that for an excuse to nurse grudges or to wallow in unloving behavior. Just as Jesus demonstrated God's deep and generous love, our hearts should be stretched to love completely and fully, unwaveringly. You know, last week I shared with you that there was another part to the story, and then I would have to save that for another time. It turns out today is that time. I'd gone to pray for the young man who was in final stages. He was surrounded by family. And he shared with me that a large portion of his life, he was agnostic. He said that friends kept inviting him to Life Church, and he was not at all interested. But they were persistent. And finally, he relented, and he went. And he connected with God through that church and followed through with baptism. Later, his son was dedicated at this church. And he looked at me and he said, "Sandra, I've never seen a church that loves like that. You guys went out of your way. It was incredible. I've never forgotten that. And that's why I ask you to come here today and to pray with me." You need to know that our Helping Hands funds provided him with a list of items that were necessary for him to pass at home. That's love in action. I am so grateful for the ministries of Life Church and that through that service, this young man received Christ. I'm even more grateful that First Christian Church Stillwater was, he has a memory of First Christian Church Stillwater that was the church that loved him and his family big, because that's who you are. That's who you are when you're a part of this church, when you're connected, not with a perfect church, but a church of imperfect people sharing love in the best way possible and sharing grace when we fall short. May we individually and collectively strive to get better, to do better every single day. May more and more people know us as the church that loves big. May we serve like Jesus, washing dirty feet of those who make mistakes, fall short, question, misunderstand, and betray. Earlier, I mentioned the shepherding efforts, and I invited you to become involved. There are a plethora of ways to serve: gathering grace meals, teacher support, blood drive, helping hands efforts, funeral meals. I was reminded again this week how much each and every one of those efforts are significant and show different ways or actions of loving others. Find a way to be involved, regardless of what it is. And let me offer just a brief disclaimer. Loving people, it is exhausting. It can wear you out and empty your tank. It's not easy work. Remember, we serve the God of resurrection. And if he calls you to a task, he will equip you to fulfill that task. He will fill your tank in unexpected testimonies of impact that come when you least expect it and most need it. Another important way to show love is to lift up those who pour themselves out to others. Encourage, support, enable, fill their tanks. It takes all of us working together. And the reality is, left up to us, this kind of love and forgiveness would be inconceivable. But it's possible because of the one who loves us fully and completely. The one who loves us to the end, even to the cross and to the grave and back again. Amen.